Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Man there trying to stop Joe from getting himself into further trouble.
It's a fucking disgrace.
That's not a bad ball for Pelé on the right side. It's Carlos Alberto. And what a great goal that was! Carlos Alberto!
Maradona just walked away from Hoddle then. Cardano smokes and
Argentina the lead. The England players protesting to the referee.
Half finale komen. Ik heb opeens zo'n gevoel dat we in de halve finale gaan komen. Met de balbezit voor Frank de Boer. Frank de Boer speelt de bal. Heel goed naar Dennis Bergkamp. Dennis Bergkamp. Dennis Bergkamp neemt de bal aan. Dennis Bergkamp.
Dennis Bergkamp. Dennis Bergkamp.
Get things rolling. Do you want to introduce yourself, like maybe where you're from in Spain, or like what football team you support or something?
Well, I'm from the south of Spain. Maybe you have heard about Malaga or Granada, which are like the most famous cities. Also Sevilla. Well, I'm from a province in Andalusia. So the south. We have a team in the second division. Almeria.
They were in La Liga for a while, right? They're usually like...
Yeah, they were like 10 years ago or something like that.
So not so recently.
Maybe less than 10 years. I don't even remember. But anyway, we got bought by a Arab guy, and he's putting a lot of money in the team. But I think it's... It's not like a city or
okay. No, he's not putting enough money in. If they're still in the second division.
I'm afraid it's more like Malaga, where I came and left. I support my the team from my town, but I'm a Real Madrid fan.
So I must ask you about Real Madrid, because this is the first time there's no Real Madrid players in the Spain squad for the Euros. Like, what is your feeling about that?
You know what? I think it's... I was speaking with some friends about it, and that tells you a lot, right? Real Madrid, right now, it cannot even buy the best Spanish players. So they are speaking about Mbappe and Holland, and man, they cannot even buy Oyarzabal or Gerard Moreno or Pau Torres. You know, those the best Spanish players are no longer playing in Real Madrid. So that is like a reality check for the fans.
Yeah, surreal. Like I don't know, like a fall. Like, because when you think about like the great Spain teams of maybe a decade ago, of course they had like a lot of Barcelona players, but it was like half and half, and that was like unimaginable to see like a Spain team without even Sergio Ramos in the side.
We're going to speak about Spain and the golden years with the Barcelona but in that team you had people who were really, really important, as Xavi Alonso, which was a Real Madrid player, Sergio Ramos, even Arbeloa, which is like
yeah.
low key player. But he did his role in the team, and he actually performed fantastic in that yeah. in those years in the national team. Also Casillas, come on, Casillas was like the saint of Spain.
Yeah, one of the best goalkeepers in the
yeah.
world.
So we always say that it was Busquets, Xavi, Iniesta, of course, but the Real Madrid players were key in the team. But yeah, no longer exists. It's like we are not the top team right now.
What about all the new lads though? The new people that have joined the Spanish squad now. Are there anyone in particular that we should watch out for during these Euros?
I think because of the final of the Europa League, it's no longer a surprise. But Pau Torres and Gerard Moreno are fantastic.
Yeah,
they are. What I like from Gerard Moreno, what I like to say, is that he's like the Spanish Benzema. It's like that type of player who is not like a killer or like, even though he scored like 23 goals this season, which is we come from the years of Cristiano Ronaldo and Messi, and now 23 goals doesn't sound.
It's like, decent.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't sound amazing, but come on, the best players in the Premier League, they score like around 20 something goals, nothing crazy, like Salah and Harry Kane and 26 goals, 23, 25, not like the 40 or 40 something that Cristiano Messi used to score. So I will say Gerard Moreno, Pau Torres. I also like this guy from Napoli. Fabian.
Yeah,
fantastic player. He's very good. It's because there is something very funny in Spain. When our players are playing in another leagues, we totally forget about them.
I think it's the same in England. It's like with Trippier playing with Atletico Madrid. Everyone's like,
yeah, Trippier is like, who's that guy? Speaking of that, I think there is a guy in the Premier League that, come on, this year, West Ham, it did fantastically. And Fornals, this guy, Spanish guy, nobody spoke about that guy in Spain. And come on, West Ham did like, well, did they end up in Champions? No.
They finished just outside in the Europa League.
All right, but still, that's fantastic for a team that was almost like in relegation zones in the previous years.
Yeah, so exactly. And I think like the midfield three, like if it's like Pedri, Rodri and Koke, like that's like a midfield which is as good as any others.
I'm not a big fan of Koke, but I had to admit that that guy has something. And it's like this type of player that gives it all. And I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah.
And I think we need that in Spain, because we are always like these classy players that sometimes we need that guy who really fights and gives something extra. I like Koke. I think he's going to be in the 11 for the Euro.
Yeah, and you have been doing very well recently, 2021 with the World Cup qualifiers going on, and then you had the 6-0 win against Germany early on. So
yeah, that was one of the best things, the best matches that we have done in recent years.
Yeah, I can imagine.
but I always have the feeling that Spain always have that match or those matches when we are in the qualified time that Spain makes fantastic. But then
doesn't automatically translate into the performance during the tournament.
Exactly.
And it's very interesting because I'm from Germany, and for us it tends to be reversed.
The opposite.
Exactly. Yeah. So whenever we perform very poorly in the last matches before the big tournament, then that's kind of a good omen. But then if we do well, then, you know, Don't be happy.
Funny thing is that these days we, at work, we were speaking about, because all these fantasy things for the Euro and who's going to perform well. I always say the same. Come on, Germany is going to be like semi-final or final, like no matter what. But if you see they didn't do that well, it doesn't matter, man. It doesn't matter. They're going to be minimum semi-final. Like that's Germany. So I always trust them. Something good that changed in Spain, it was that I remember back in the days that we used to be, we call ourselves the world champions of the friendly matches, because we were doing so great in friendly matches against top teams and winning all these matches and then going to the Euro World Cups and then nothing. So I like that that has changed, and now we have like trophies and and we don't do that well in the qualify, but then we perform okay in the tournaments.
Do you have like a favorite memory from that like three tournament win streak in a row?
I have a couple of memories from matches in the Euro. Because I remember you you sent me this question previous to the interview, something that you remember, first memory. I actually remember my first memory is the Euro from England. It was in 96. I think that is when I followed the Euro. Before that one, I don't remember the Euro from 92, where Denmark won.
But Denmark,
I don't remember that one. I think I was 9 years old, so I didn't care about that, but I remember the one in England. But I think a match that we all remember in Spain, it was in France. Was it France, the next Euro?
It was Belgium, Netherlands.
Belgium and Netherlands, yes, exactly. That we won a match against Yugoslavia 4-3.
Oh, it's like crazy game. They scored like two goals in out of time.
That was one of the best memories that I had, and obviously when we won the first Euro, because I think the first Euro is what changed everything, what changed that history of losing and being this good team but never winning anything, and that changed everything and that's why everybody is gonna remember forever Luis Aragonés, because it's the guy who changed the mentality, right? It was what changes. Because we always had good players. We always had, I don't know, we had Raul and we had Guardiola and we had fantastic players in the past, Hierro but nothing. And so I say, I would say those two moments were that match and that Euro in that Torres scored a goal in the final against Germany. Sorry.
That's right. I think it's very interesting because I do think that Germany and Spain are somewhat in a similar position now, because they've had a very successful era and now they're in this transition phase with a new squad, with young people and players coming in.
Yeah.
And so the question of this Euros will be, will it work out? To what extent will they successfully,
get
into the footsteps of...
You know what I like to say? I like to say that the football has to be grateful with Spain, because thanks to us, Germany has not like six or seven tournaments. we are lucky that we have Spain, so Germany don't win like five or six times.
True.
Yeah.
Also South Africa, there was also you guys.
Yes. I remember. It was it the semi-final?
It was the semi-final. Puyol scored. And we were doing so great before that against Argentina and against England, but then you guys came along. Didn't stand a chance,
Actually, fantastic header that goal was. Insane. That's what I said, that we're lucky that we have Spain, so Germany didn't win more. It's very boring. Right. Germany is always winning.
Fair point.
Sorry.
All right, I have one final question, and then I'll let you go. It's the question we're asking everyone: if you were able to go for a drink, a beer, or a coffee with a Spanish player, past or present, who would it be?
Probably. I think everybody will say Reina, the goalkeeper, because he's
the fun guy.
He's a fun guy. and. He's always the guy who takes the lead on the celebrations, and and he's funny.
It's the role of the third choice goalkeeper. You've got to be the guy who brings the party.
Yes, yes, it is. I think that many people make jokes in Spain about that. He's only going for the celebration. He's not going to play or anything. Probably.
Seems like a valid reason for me.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right.
For joining us, and
my pleasure.
Good luck with the tournament.
Yeah, good luck for your teams too.
All right. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
To kick things off, do you want to just briefly introduce like how long you've been in Sweden, or what brought you to Scandinavia, that kind of thing?
Sure. Yeah. No. I just moved to Denmark about 3 years ago now. Just for the sake of it, the enjoyment of it. But then my girlfriend's Swedish, so I moved to Sweden 2.5 years, close to 3 years ago now, because she was living in Malmö, and that's how long I've been here for. Yeah.
Do you feel like you will be supporting fully on the Swedish national team, or will it be somewhat kind of contrarian about it?
Yeah, it's hard. I'm Australian, my mum's British, and I've got a lot of British mates here, Scottish mates, and they ask, like, who are you support? Because, like, are you going to get on with the UK, with England, Scotland, because there's some Australian players there. I think I have to go Sweden, because I've called this my home now for a few years. That's it. The plan is it's going to be my home in the EU. So, I think it'll be Sweden all the way.
Sweden all the way. How did you actually get into football? Because, in Australia, it's not the...
I mean, funnily enough, it's actually the most played sport in the country. It's just not the most watched and funded. My cousin was a professional footballer. She played for the Australian national team.
Oh, wow.
And for Brisbane Roar Women's. So she was kind of like the influence for myself and my sister from a young age. And my sister plays semi-professional now, hoping to get a professional contract as well.
Oh, okay. And you, are you still living the dream or no?
God, no. I've accepted where I am a long time ago. Yeah. I can make up all the excuses. Too injury prone, to this, to that. Yeah. I live vicariously through others now, you could say.
But do you play here in Sweden?
Like, yeah. We got screwed over last season with kind of like how the Swedish FA and Swedish government responded to coronavirus, and so our season, or our club, just got put in the bin, basically. This season is finally about to start this weekend after about 5-6 delays, I think.
Okay.
And I run a casual football group within Malmo as well for people, just so we can get together and enjoy some games.
Well, we should come by one day.
Yeah, if you ever want. Yeah, it's about 370 members now. It's called the Hangover FC Malmo. And before COVID, we used to run like 2 casual games a week. And then it's kind of like I've met everybody I know here. It's like expats. It's kind of hard to meet people when you first move. So like-minded people all getting on board with football, going to bars, watching games, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, and from from Swedish people that you've spoken to, what do they say about the Swedish national team's chances of about this tournament?
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I remember watching them at the 2018 World Cup quite closely, because Oiler Toivonen was going to be going to Melbourne Victory. Yeah, so it was going to be interesting, and he was phenomenal at the tournament for his age, especially at the time. But I mean, you couldn't be too upset, I guess, going out to England when they did pretty well. And then this tournament coming up, I mean, I think they'd have to be more optimistic than they were at the 2018 World Cup. The group isn't a cakewalk by any means, but I think Spain maybe aren't as strong as they look on paper with the opening game there. Sweden has some quality young players, and they've still got the experience of like Sebastian Larsson in the squad. Robin Olsen's a decent mm-hmm. national team goalkeeper. You know, like Kulusevski, Alexander Isak, Quaison coming through. I'd like to think, I'd like to think they get through to like the quarters sort of stage for sure. And I think a lot of hopeful Swedes would say maybe we can sneak through to the
semi-final. It's interesting because they were such a surprise package in the World Cup in 18. Like, I think people were really surprised that they actually like did well and were able to reach a quarterfinal. And like since then, but then also they had the whole thing with Zlatan, you know, doing the big thing about coming out of retirement and then he got injured.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and like, no, it was, and like, there was obviously like the was he going to go to the Euros with them when he was brought back into the national squad talk, and I think I think you had such a mixed bag. Like, you had people who have the opinion of like, it's Zlatan, you've got to have him. You have the people who have the opinion of, look how we played last World Cup, we're a more complete team, and then you have the Malmo fans who now just despise him for him getting a share in Hammarby and want to cut every statue down.
They've knocked down this statue, right? Or did they put it back up?
Yeah. Oh, God. It was a funny, 2 weeks, I think, maybe 3 weeks it went for, because we used to play right next to the stadium and there's like cops everywhere and they had big fences up. But I mean, give it till 4 a.m., someone will jump in. And yeah, they ended up getting it down.
Yeah, but even the coach for some time was somewhat critical of Zlatan's return, right? I think Zlatan knocked on the door 4 times and every time he said, nah, we won't have it.
I believe so, yeah. There's always like little reports and ins and outs. I never really know what to truly believe. Yeah,
yeah, and I'm dubious as to what, you know, Zlatan's interpretation of the truth.
Yeah,
fluid. But
everyone wants Zlatan all the time. You can't get enough of Zlatan, apparently.
Yeah,
yeah.
But yeah, I think they'll be pretty interesting. Like, I think the group is, I mean, everyone kind of say that like Spain probably be the top, but then like Slovakia and Poland are probably at Sweden's level.
Yeah, I think Poland, for the most part, rests on the shoulders of Lewandowski. I mean, he's just come off the best season of his life. So, I haven't looked at his national team performances too in depth. I'd like to think that he's going to be is bringing them along. I know like Piontek is out injured for the Euros, so he's not there. Decent back line for them. So, yeah, that'll be a crucial game for sure. I'd like to think that Sweden gets past Slovenia.
Slovakia,
excuse me. Yeah. And I truly think they can pull out like a 1-1 draw with Spain, especially with Laporte coming into that back line. I don't know how kind of gelled it's going to be in there for them.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because Spain are very much like a kind of at the beginning of a new cycle, like, you know, they had the great generation and now things have like changed and people are not sure as to how much settled this kind of new generation will be.
But yeah, exactly.
Have you got, you haven't got any tickets for the games, have you, in Sweden, or what's your...
No, it's been very confusing as to what the situation is, how they're going to go about it. We kind of, at least for myself and some friends, that we haven't really been looking at that too in depth. Like last World Cup, I know in like some of the parks throughout Malmo, they would have big screens up and everyone can sit out in the park and watch the game. And they haven't decided on that yet because our restrictions are lifted yesterday. So we're hoping that's the case and the best chance then we can all be outside in like a big group and watching. Yeah.
Cool. Otherwise, it'd just be with like your girlfriend's family and stuff, I guess, and embracing that.
Yeah. No, I mean, we can still congregate for the most part in places that like you can go to pubs and stuff. You've got to be a little bit separated. So, I mean, everyone who wants to watch it will watch it. And yeah, I know at the very least, she's got dad, uncle, grandfather, people throughout who are just dying to see a good performance. So yeah, they'll be pulling me through. Yeah.
Yeah, but of course, I mean, there's a unique appeal to public viewing, right? When everyone gets together.
Yeah, exactly. And especially like kind of like you mentioned about Australia, like the culture is entirely different. Like I watched the 2018 World Cup there and it's sitting up at 4 a.m. sort of thing, watching games. Like my whole life, ever watching like Champions League games, it's waking up before school at 5 a.m. to watch the game and just getting the last 10 minutes in before you get on the bus. So it's it's going to be, it'd be nice to be in like that like 8 p.m. sort of around everyone is
actual football
time. yeah, you can sit back, have a beer, and like everyone's there for that purpose instead of like 4 people who are the outsiders at a bar watching a game.
Well, but I do remember the same. I was in Australia 2012, I think, and Germany was playing, and we stayed up all night just to have this at the very end. But it's kind of a weird experience. It's also nice, like you've been drinking, you've been out enjoying yourself, and then this is the peak kind of you going
out. You're the real diehards.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I mean, I'm obviously a Liverpool fan, and when we lost to Madrid in the Champions League final, we had to get to the casino, which was showing it at 10 p.m. Otherwise, we wouldn't be let in.
Yeah.
So we're drinking at the casino from 10 p.m. all the way through to 5 a.m. at the kickoff.
Yeah.
Watched the game, and then I had a football game to play at 2 p.m. Like, I hadn't slept at all because I didn't have time.
No, but it was a casino for us as well. Yeah. Casino next to Darling Harbour. It was a good one.
It's horrendous. It's horrendous. The things you do to watch football at home, man.
Yeah. All right. We have one final question that we've been asking everyone. And it's if you could go for a beer with a player past or present from. For you, I think you can either choose Sweden or Australia or both if you want.
Yeah. No. Like I had a thought about that. I mean, I think the obvious answer everyone would say is Zlatan. I don't know what that experience would be. I don't know how that would go, but there's one. I was curious because of Pontus Janssen like getting promoted with Brentford just recently, and especially failing to get promoted,
losing the final
prior.
And then winning next year.
Yeah, I thought that'd be a curious like little chat to have with him to see how he's experienced that, because he's had a lot of ups and downs before that with Leeds as well.
Yeah.
And then I've met a few Australian national team footballers. I've always wanted to have a longer chat than I did with Harry Kewell, because he was ex-Liverpool player, like played in that Champions League final for 15 minutes or so before he got injured. So that's always been one for me. But yeah, I think Pontus Janssen will be an interesting chat from Sweden.
Yeah, that's a good shout. Thanks so much, Samuel.
No problem, boys.
Good luck for Sweden for the rest of the tournament, and enjoy wherever you get to watch it.
Cheers.
Awesome. Have a good night, boys.
Bye-bye.
All right, take care, man. So our next guest is Boris here to talk about Slovakia. Boris, do you want to briefly introduce yourself, maybe where in Slovakia you're from or what club football team you support, that kind of thing?
Hey, I'm Boris. I'm from Slovakia. I am supporting, obviously, Slovakia and our home team, Slovan Bratislava. And from England, I'm a Liverpool fan.
Nice. How did you become a Liverpool fan?
It's nice to, I think I was... What was that? 2005 was the final.
Yeah.
Champions League final, AC Milan. Right, that was 3-0 down. Mm-hmm. I was like 10-year-old watching it second half. My mom already like sent me to bed 2 times. Like I cannot watch it. I'm too, you know. I have a school next day and this kind of crap. I was like, okay. Then I was just watching it, almost without any audio. And I mean that whole experience and match. That's basically what brought me to become a Liverpool fan.
Mm-hmm. And what are some of your happiest memories watching the Slovakian team? Was it the penalty shootout win against my team, the Republic of Ireland, in qualifying, or knocking out our neighbors up north in the next round?
that will be more true. I mean, best moments of our first qualifying like the most important like qualifying game when we get qualified to World Cup in South Africa. So I was playing game against Poland where we play in like a total snow. It was like 1-0 in 5th minute by own goal, Polish own goal. So it was and then we just stayed the whole game. It was 1-0. It was pain to watch it. I was like biting my nails and I was really nervous if we can make it. But then I was like I was yelling, I was celebrating, and then we get qualified And then that as a funny moment happened at the end of like after the end of the match, one of the like TV anchors or commentators, he's like went down to the pitch and make like an interview with our goalkeeper. And then he was like start kissing his hands and telling like thank for your blessed hands that you saved the all the shots and that we could first time qualify.
Yeah, it sounds like a really nice moment. Do you remember where you were when you watched the game?
I was watching at home in Bratislava, Slovakia. I was only like what 15 back then or 14.
Yeah. So then it's like the biggest moment.
I think it was just by myself. I think it was like a evening game as well, but yeah, I was definitely watching it by myself.
So what do you think about Slovakia's chances at this tournament? I was reading that they're like the third most experienced squad in the tournament. So that's kind of one of the oldest, and they kind of snuck through qualifying, and now they've got a pretty tough group with Sweden, Poland, and Spain. Like, what do you think is the kind of expectations for Slovakia?
Yeah, I mean, it is a tough group. I know that our team is experienced because we do have now a slight generational problem as we had in like ice hockey, and like this generation which went to one World Cup and one European Championship is just turning 30 plus, obviously, and a few players already stopped from that nice age era, golden boys. They didn't win anything, but for us, like the qualifying, it's win, right? So yeah, I don't know. I don't have big expectations from us. We are missing a striker. We don't have any. I don't believe we have anybody who is like a sniper. You know, like somebody who will just take it and score a goal. So be very team game, playing one. Maybe like false nine striker or something like that, and then like maybe some winger will do something. We do have some pretty like okay fast wingers and creative players, and yeah. So I mean, but from games I saw before, this team plays on 1-0, 1-1, 0-0. So I do not expect any like big wins or rather maybe big losers, but I think the overall defensive approach would, I don't know, maybe Spain will be like big close, but let's see.
Is Hamzik still like the key man? Because obviously he was playing in China, and now he was in Sweden, and now he's in Turkey. So he's like kind of, his career is kind of winding down a bit.
Is he still in Sweden? I don't know. I think he's
left for Trabzonspor. At least that's what it's.
Really? Okay. Maybe something is cooking there. I don't remember. But yeah, I know he was playing in Sweden to get some match practice before the championship. Yeah, and then I think he injured and he played like 7 games or something, but so he was out for a while as well. But he plays in the national team since like 18, and now he is what, I don't know what age is he actually, but I mean definitely more than
33. Yeah, there's a few players in the squad who are kind of like on the wrong side of 30, as they say.
Yeah, I know actually a lot. But yeah, he is still running the show, I believe. But in the game against Bulgaria, which was one of the last matches, okay, that was like two matches before, was Bulgaria and was Austria. Mm-hmm. And both of them was like 1-1 and 0-0. So, I mean, I've seen in the first one, there was a creativity of the young creative midfielder called Laszlo Benes. He plays in Germany. He played in Borussia Mönchengladbach and then on loan somewhere in Augsburg or some other like Bundesliga or second Bundesliga team. But he seems to be promising. But I think Marek Hamšík is still key player for us because also Stanislav Lobotka, who plays in Napoli under Gattuso, he is not playing under him. So he was a very talented midfielder who could be... who could be used very well, but this season is not, since he changed from Celta Vigo to Napoli, it's like it's not that good. So I don't know. I think Marek Hamšík, yes, will be. Yeah. leading our.
And what do you think about Tarkovic, the coach? Because he hasn't been there for that long, right?
He hasn't. He's from East Bioslovakia. I'm from West, so I'm from Bioslovakia. He's from Košice. But what I know is that he was an assistant to the coach who was leading us to last European Championship. So definitely he was part of our national team for a longer time. I think he was offered or could also be in a under 21 team, but I know that he is he plays football not on any high level. I know that he is like a tactician and like bookworm or whatever they call him, and then he is also like not as passionate. He is more like analytical and this kind of approach. So it's real. I don't know what to expect from him. We will see. I mean, he showed few games where. Yeah, I mean, we are playing very defending football, kinda. For so I don't know. I think he will not survive this championship. There will be after this one probably not prolonged the contract.
But is it because expectations are so high? I mean, or is it just because people are generally not very affectionate about him?
Mm. I don't know if high expectations, I wouldn't say, but I mean, that we qualified is good. Like he can take off that he made it, that's like a primary goal, even though we qualified through like third place playoff, right?
So and
like,
I think, yeah, didn't he only come on anyways after the win against Ireland? So he was only there for the last qualifying match.
That's true.
He wasn't there for the game against Republic of Ireland, but exactly. He was the manager but for the game against
Northern Ireland. For the Northern Ireland one. Exactly. So, that's what I meant, but yeah.
No, I
thanks
I
for spelling
you,
it
I
out. Yeah,
I just thought it would just make it clear.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe maybe he will get one more qualification cycle, but I don't know. He needs to prove us and what his direction with the national team is. And for now, I don't know. It's like he's a former assistant of the coach. And he is now the one who stepped up. And I mean, the results are average for now. And but also the players are average. So, you know, like what can I tell about his future? I mean, he has to work with what he has. So,
yeah. And if there was like a strength of the Slovakian team, like I think the defense is reasonable. Like the Dubravka is a good goalkeeper and so like the kind of players that people will kind of recognize a bit more, kind of there is a bit of a solid base. But then looking at the group, when you start like on Monday against Poland, and then you have Sweden, and then you finish up with Spain, like where do you think Slovakia will be able to get a win? Or because if they are to get out of the group, they're gonna have to win one of probably those first two games.
I mean, change from our previous two championship would be that both coaches before, as I said, were more emotional, and they could really put players up for like high and big games.
Yeah,
like psych them up. And this guy, I don't know. I just see that it will be like two draws and like one loser. It will be like one draw and two losers in our group, and we will not win any game.
Not sounding super confident.
No, I mean, that's what I see as a reality. I mean, like, I'm giving our players chances as, like, Northern Macedonia or something. I don't know who is that. Like, no offense. I mean, we are just, like, not catching up with the some teams, like, most of the teams, I believe.
Turning it around, though, how would the atmosphere be in Slovakia if you actually make it through the group stage? How big would the euphoria be?
I mean, to like elimination stage? I think it will be. I mean, we did it on both last championships, so I think it will be nice. But I mean, our main sport is hockey, I believe, national sport, and we still live from the 2000s, 2005, that era. So I don't know, football is, I mean, people watch it, obviously it's popular. There will be some fan zone outside, but only like big crowd or everybody was like celebrating was when the hockey players come with some medal, right? So football players, they come to the championship and then it's like, yeah, okay, watch it. There is an engagement, but it's not as like big as hockey, I believe.
How did Slovakia do in the World Championships? There was some hockey thing recently, I thought. Was there?
They went in quarterfinals after 8 years. They didn't qualify to quarterfinals. So okay. It was a success. We had the youngest team, which is fun because now in football, we have one of the oldest teams.
Yeah.
But in hockey, we had like a 3 17-year-old player. So it was on the like men championship and they were good. So they'll be like, I believe in next year draft, they'll be like quite high. It's like best generation we had for last 15, 20 years.
But doesn't that bode well for football? Now all sports enthusiasm has to be channeled through this tournament.
Or that they're all playing hockey rather than football. It's bad.
Yeah. I don't, yeah. We'll definitely need some more hype, this thing, in between like football players. But like in general situation is in both sports, in soccer, is that like the players who play there, they just play to get sold somewhere outside, or they like leave young to some Italian junior club or some, you know, go foreign. I mean, there's from our league, there's like nobody, I guess. Oh yeah, there's Vladimir Weiss, but he played like somewhere else before. He's just now 32 and playing in our league, but our league, you know, doesn't generate that many players now. Like directly, but there are a few, like Denis Vavra played in Žilina. But yeah, in general, from the young players, I don't know. I don't see that he would be picking any good, nor there are any good, like, you know, game-changing players. So yeah, generational problem. Well, yeah, as you said, we have an old team, so I don't know. So yeah, that's right. But we can surprise. I mean, I have very low expectations, but it doesn't mean that can be changed.
All right, I have one final question that I've been asking all of our guests, and it's if you were to be able to go for a beer with a player past or present, who would it be?
I would like. I would say it's a Marek Hamšík, which would be quite a decent beer. Having a decent beer, and if I would go for some party afterwards, then I will just go with Vladi Weiss, as probably he's like more fun.
Does he have like a party animal reputation back home?
Yeah, he does. I mean, once I think he was in a like Mercedes G class with like 9 people, and like police stopped them, and then it's like at 5 a.m. going out of some club. It was like, yeah, he was sitting on somebody's lap.
Okay.
Like a small kid, you know, like he was not driving. He was like, yeah, because they wanted to give him some fine or something, and he was like, I'm not driving, I'm just sitting on his lap to have some fun ending.
Where are you gonna be meet up with some Slovakians to watch the game? Are you gonna be able to watch it with
Slovakians? I actually have also I also have a Polish friends, and we will definitely watch the game against Poland. And probably ask, I'm going there with a just for having fun, and with some Swedes maybe, and I also have a Spanish friend, so I was like, I will probably invite both parties to watch it in the fan zone.
Yeah, perfect group. You've got a friend for all the teams.
Yeah,
it's also curious to you that you meet them, even though you're not very optimistic about the performance of Slovakia.
Yeah, I know. Like, it'll be fun. I mean, it's in the stars, I guess. Like, we'll see.
Yeah. All right, Boris. Thank you so much, and I hope you Slovakia exceed your expectations and you enjoy the tournament regardless.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good one, and looking forward to hear this episode.
All right.
Take care.
Have a good evening. Maybe to kick things off, do you want to maybe tell us where in Poland you're from, or maybe like what football team you support, that kind of thing?
I am from Gdańsk. It's on the north. Big fan of Lechia. Mm-hmm. Maybe you heard about Lechia. In past they play with Juventus.
Yeah, big team.
Yeah, and now I move out from Poland to Copenhagen 3 years ago and want to stay here for longer. Mm-hmm. And here I am not fan of, you know, FC Copenhagen on Brøndby because it's really tough, you know.
Well, what do you think about the Polish national team at the moment? Do you think they'll have a good tournament this summer?
Yeah, I think they are on the good way to do anything on this Euro. But we will see. We have Spain in group, so it can be a little bit hard. But we have new coach already since 1 month, mm-hmm. Paulo Sousa, and he makes some revolution. So I hope, cross fingers, that
yeah, it's really strange that they changed the coach like so close to the tournament.
Yeah, because last coach was okay, but you know, it was some problem with communication and atmosphere in national team. That's why they decide to just fire last coach and hire this Paulo Sousa. So mm-hmm. We will see.
Yeah.
I think there was a similar thing going on in Slovakia, which is also in the group, and then Sweden. What do you think about these two countries when it comes to their odds against Poland?
But which one?
Slovakia.
Slovakia and Sweden.
With Slovakia, we have always problems because in theory, it's weaker than Poland because they don't have too much big players, but in Poland is always, if you have weak opponent, you don't give 100%, and you know, you cannot try to win really easy. They make it more complicated. So if we have weak player, we just play weak, and normally it's disaster. Yeah.
But does this also happen during the big tournaments?
Yeah.
Because there's the same with German teams, especially during the qualifiers, where you see this happening. But usually I feel like that this changes as soon as the games actually matter.
Yeah. But, you know, many times we play with some weak teams and it was disaster because I don't know really why. Maybe they think that it's, you know, it's easy match, easy 3 points or easy win, but in real it's not so easy, yeah. Because always everyone play for 100% and try to win, even if it's San Marino or I don't know what weak team. Yeah,
obviously everyone kind of knows about Lewandowski and like the incredible season he's had, like breaking Gilmore's goal scoring record and everything, but who are some of the kind of other important players for Poland who you think will be, if Poland are to have a good tournament, they'll have to play well?
We need some good goalkeeper. Okay, we have Szczęsny, Fabiański, but mm-hmm. Wojtek don't have a good season in this year. It's pretty fucked up sometimes, and I think this is the most important thing.
But Fabiański has had quite a good season with Hesam. So he is there a chance that he might start over Szczęsny?
We will see what coach will do with this, because in this season Fabiański is much better than Szczęsny, but we will see. I think this is the most important position if you want to do anything, because you can, you know, try to do best when you have a weak goalkeeper. It's not possible yet.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any highlights from watching the Poland national team? Like some games maybe that you particularly remember as being like, wow.
Yes, it's two matches. One is from 2011. It was friendly match with Germany. because normally win with all qualification groups or in Euro and World Cup. In 70%, we always get a Germany or England. And this is our curse or something like this. And when we play in 2011 with Germany, it was amazing match because in 91 minute we score for 2-1 and from penalty, and then in minute 94 they score for 2-2 and it finished like every time. So yeah, it was really amazing match to watch. And the second one was with England, of course.
Yeah.
And it was World Cup 2014 qualification. It was also pretty game because we losing till 70 and in minute 70 Kamil Glik score for 1-1. And it's awesome because we always have a problem with England and Germany. This is our two worst team to
the bogey teams.
Yeah, something like this.
Yeah, but I feel like there was a period when all the qualifiers, it was always Poland and Germany
facing
each other in the groups.
All the time, even Euro, World Cup, it doesn't matter. Yeah, we need to fight with Germany or England. It's like tradition, something like
that. Yeah. Have you ever been to a match in person in the stadium?
Yes, of course, many times. Last time it was, I think, friendly match with Netherlands, I think. Yes, and it was in my city, so it was easier for me. And that was after some qualification, and Poland passed this qualification, and Netherlands don't pass. I don't remember which one, but it was few years ago, and it was really nice game. And you know, this atmosphere in stadium is something different that you watching on TV or even in pub or some fan zone or something. Yeah,
I think that's also going to be exciting for the players, that at least some people will be in the stadiums during the Euros. So after this season, that they actually have some
noises from speakers. Empty stadium is really sad. Yeah. Because so without atmosphere, it's quiet. And
We have one final question that we've been asking all of our guests, and it's if you could go for a beer with a player, past or present, from Poland, who would it be, and why?
Of course, Robert Lewandowski. Yeah. Because now he is amazing, and he made a really good job, and I think now he is top player and even beat Ronaldo and Messi, because this is his year, and I hope in Euro he will keep this level and just make his best job to beat everyone, even Spain. I hope so.
Yeah, Poland will need him to
Spain.
All right.
Yeah, and best of luck for that.
Thank you very much.
Are you going to be back in Poland for some of the games, or what is there?
I don't have any tickets. I make some, lottery for ticket here in Denmark, but my plan for holiday just changed, and I'm going at 13th of June, and the match with I don't remember with who, it's at 17, so even if I get a ticket, it will be not possible for me to go for the match. But in Poland, maybe if I get some tickets, I will be able to go for this match. Maybe I will try.
Adam, thank you so much for taking the time to join us on the podcast.
No problem. Thank you very much also.
Yeah, it was an absolute pleasure, and I wish good tournament for Poland, and you get to enjoy it wherever you are watching it.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and have a nice evening.
Have a good evening, man.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Podcast Network.